This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and you can watch our TV show on Free Speech TV and on our website. Donald Trump is turning up the heat on his Republican colleagues to pass the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. In a series of private meetings and phone calls, Trump and his team have threatened and cajoled GOP lawmakers, warning that they could lose their seats in the next election if they didn't support the American Health Care Act, which some are calling Trump Care. House Speaker Paul Ryan explained the hole that Republicans have dug themselves into, saying, quote, "We made a promise. Now is our time to keep that promise. If we don't keep our promise, it will be very hard to manage this." There are Republicans on both sides of the debate, with some complaining that the bill doesn't go far enough to strip Americans of subsidies, and others worrying that it will hurt millions in their own base who've managed to get healthcare through the ACA. Meanwhile, Americans have taken to the streets of cities around the country to demand that the Affordable Care Act be kept intact. My guest is Jim Manja. He is the CEO of St. John's Well Child and Family Center, which is the largest provider of healthcare in South Los Angeles. Welcome to the program, Jim.
Thanks for having me.
So first, let's talk about the problems that the Republicans are facing in this whole battle. As I mentioned, they've dug themselves into a hole. They've spent the last nearly, 7 or 8 years saying that Obamacare, which is the Affordable Care Act, is absolutely evil and is imploding and is devastating Americans. And now they seem to basically, have to fulfill the promise of repealing it. Do you think that they've put themselves in a tight spot politically?
Yes, I think that they've been lying to the American people for 7 years by claiming that Obamacare is failing, that it's imploding, basically to appeal to the most extreme of their conservative base. But the fact is that there are problems with Obamacare, as with any social program, that have to be fixed and improved. But that wasn't allowed after the Republicans took control of Congress. So the fact is they're in their own stew, and now they have to repeal because that's what they promised, but their repeal and replace is actually a lot worse than any of the problems with the Affordable Care Act. It would cause premiums to go up. 24 million Americans would lose their health care coverage. They would literally end Medicaid as an entitlement program for low-income children and seniors and pregnant women. So it's really the most draconian and disgusting solution that they could have come up with. And in fact, there was a recent estimate that if they would do nothing and just repeal Obamacare, less people would lose insurance. So
Wow. Their
plan actually takes more people off than if they just repealed it in and of itself.
So the repeal and replace aspect of this whole political theater would leave Americans in an even worse situation. It's also, many have determined that it is a series of tax breaks to the richest Americans, that it's basically a massive tax giveaway, right?
Yeah, it's billions of dollars in tax breaks to the top billionaires in the United States of America. That's essentially what the healthcare bill is. And really, it's kind of a healthcare bill. It's kind of a tax cut for the rich bill disguised as a healthcare bill, except there's one critical component, which is what I really think is their goal in this whole thing, which is to eliminate healthcare for low-income Americans. The Medicaid plan that they put forward would essentially eliminate Medicaid as a federal program. And that has been the basis of the war on poverty. It's been the basis on assuring that children and pregnant women and seniors and people with disabilities are most vulnerable citizens, to make sure that they have health care. And they would literally strip that away. And so that's, I think, the most dangerous. And because Medicaid serves primarily low-income and poor Americans, that's not getting talked about as much as, repealing the subsidies and the mandates and all this other stuff. But the fact is the Republicans have put in their own mandate. So they don't like the federal mandate that says people have to have insurance and have health insurance, but they have a federal mandate now that they put in that people have to have a job in order to get Medicaid, and they have a federal mandate, you know, for other things. And so if you are telling, you know, the tens of millions of children who are on Medicaid that they have to have a job in order to get their Medicaid benefits, or pregnant women or people with disabilities or seniors, what are they going to do as a companion piece to the American Healthcare Act? Are they going to repeal child labor laws to make sure that children have to work in order to get their Medicaid? It's just unbelievable to me as a healthcare advocate and someone who's been on the front lines in providing healthcare to hundreds of thousands of people in the largest area of contiguous poverty in the United States of America, that anyone would propose a bill with such terrible, terrible outcomes for the American people.
Right, and I think you make a really good point, because a very important but not as much talked about aspect of the Affordable Care Act was the expansion of Medicaid, and it really did make a huge difference in a way was a poverty reduction program as well. Now, the Office of Management and Budget analyzed the American Healthcare Act, or Trump Care, and when it was determined that 26 million people would lose coverage over the next decade, Paul Ryan's response, House Speaker Paul Ryan's response was, well, that's exactly as I expected, and that's actually a good thing. This is exactly what we were hoping Trump Care would do. I mean, I'm paraphrasing him. And how does that, where does that justification come from, the 26 million people losing healthcare coverage, insurance coverage, is what the Republicans want? I wonder if they even listen to themselves speak.
Well, I think it comes from the place of a very cold heart. It comes from the place of not believing that healthcare is a fundamental human right. And it comes from a place where you don't believe that the richest country on the face of the planet has the capacity to make sure that all of its people have healthcare. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we want people in this country to be healthy? Don't we care about our people? Don't we care about low-income folks? Don't we care about seniors? Don't we care about our children? So I think the callousness of that statement really reveals who they're worried about. And they're worried about the billionaires and the millionaires. And they don't care about children. They don't care about seniors. And they don't believe that healthcare is a right. And those of us who are in healthcare obviously believe that it is a right. And in fact, every major healthcare institution in the United States, from the Association of Health Plans, the American Hospital Association, the Public Health Association, the community clinics, everyone who provides care, the American Medical Association, opposes the Republican healthcare bill because it would take so many people off of health insurance and it would make Americans sicker. So the fact that the whole healthcare industry, nonprofit and for-profit, is against this bill. The AARP, the representatives of seniors in this country, millions and tens of millions of seniors are part of that organization, opposes this bill. And yet they're trying to ram it down the throats of the American people. And it's callous, and it's a disregard for the health of our people. And I think it shows us who Donald Trump really is and who Paul Ryan really is.
And Jim, before the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare was passed, a lot of people who didn't have health insurance would essentially wait till the last minute till, you know, their health care problems became untenable, and then would end up going to the emergency room, often, you know, too late or far too late in their in the progression of whatever they were suffering from, but also that was contributing to skyrocketing costs. I understand that emergency room providers are extremely worried because we may see another turn towards the overuse of emergency room care simply because people are not getting the regular care that they need.
Yes, and that's a real, and it's also, so let's just talk about the financial issue of that, right? So it's incredibly more expensive to receive your care, primary care, preventive care, or any kind of care in an emergency room. So we're going to raise the cost of providing health care in the country because people are going to be using the emergency room instead of a primary care doctor or a community health center. So that's number one. So just from a financial perspective, it's absolutely ludicrous and ridiculous. But from a moral perspective, what we're talking about is of all the industrialized advanced nations on the planet, the United States has the highest infant mortality rate and the highest morbidity, the lowest morbidity rates. And so what you have is a situation where under the Affordable Care Act, you saw the life expectancy starting to climb again. You saw the infant mortality rate starting to decline again. So less babies were being born dead. More people were living longer again in the United States. And now they want to take all of that health care away, which has shown dramatic health improvements for the American people. It's increased our life expectancy for the first time in 20 years. It's reduced infant mortality in the United States. And they want to take that away and give tax breaks to billionaires instead.
Well, there was, just going back to the issue of the emergency room, there was a Trump supporter who said that she survived cancer because of getting health insurance through Obamacare. And so many Trump supporters, states where you have the highest concentration of Trump supporters are also states where you have the highest signups for healthcare under Obamacare. And when this one person confronted Florida Congressman Ron DeSantis about the fact that she's alive because she got care, he basically said if people really need it, they can go to the emergency room. I mean, it's just amazing. How do you get cancer treatment at an emergency room?
Yeah, that's just an outright lie. And the fact is that Paul Ryan and Donald Trump, as we know, have been telling the American people a whole host of lies. And the biggest lie is that the American Health Care Act is an improvement over Obamacare. And the biggest lie is that Obamacare is imploding when in fact it's not. I mean, health insurance executives are talking about the benefits of the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act brought together all the sectors of the healthcare industry, for-profit and nonprofit, and crafted a much, much better system than we had before. Is it imperfect? Of course. Does it need improvement? Of course. But the Republicans spent 7 years refusing to sit down with the Democrats to make improvements on the Affordable Care Act. And now they're saying, well, we're just going to repeal it. So, you know, the fact is we know about the dishonesty of the Trump administration and Donald Trump. We know about the dishonesty when it comes to health care. On the Republican side. And I'm not talking as a partisan Democrat here. I'm talking as a healthcare advocate, as someone who provides healthcare to the largest number of people in the largest area of contiguous poverty in the United States in South Los Angeles. We serve over 100,000 individuals. We provide 350,000 medical, dental, and mental health visits to those individuals every year. Half of them are children. Most of them have Medicaid. And so we're not a for-profit organization. We're a not-for-profit. There's no profit here. We do this out of the goodness of our hearts. It was started by St. John's Church. And so we are a charity that provides free health care to 100,000 patients in South LA. And the Republicans and Donald Trump are willing to take health care away from those people and the people in the districts where they won. We're also talking about white working class folks who are going to lose their health care. We're talking about middle class families that will lose their health care. And so, you know, in order to fulfill a campaign promise that they were going to repeal Obamacare, they're going to make the situation that much worse. And it's frankly because they don't believe that health care is a right. And we do.
Jim, how did the Affordable Care Act enable St. John's Well Child and Family Center to treat more people? I mean, how does that quite work? Did you see more people, you know, be able to have access to healthcare as a result of the ACA directly?
Yes. So there were two major components of the Affordable Care Act that allowed more people access to healthcare. So one was there was $12 billion in the Affordable Care Act that was allocated to the expansion and support of nonprofit community health centers across the country. So the number of community health centers in rural areas, in inner city urban areas across the country doubled under the Affordable Care Act because of that funding. And it also provided ongoing federal grant funding for operations to continue to expand care. That was one major piece of the Affordable Care Act. Another, as you mentioned earlier, was the Medicaid expansion. And the Medicaid expansion allowed a significant percentage of our adults who had been uninsured, most of whom had never seen a doctor before, and they were in their 40s and their 50s, allowed them to sign up for Medicaid health insurance and start to receive regular care for their diabetes, for their hypertension, for their obesity issues, smoking cessation. It allowed us to do intervention and prevention services so that we could do colorectal cancer screenings, mammograms for people. And so the Affordable Care Act was a huge improvement in allowing people to access health services in those two ways.
Tell me about the planned rally that's happening in Los Angeles for a Southern California audience in particular. I understand that St. John's Well Child and Family Center is helping to organize a showing on the streets of LA to help preserve the ACA.
Yes, there's over 70 organizations, labor unions, businesses, doctors groups, community health centers, nonprofit organizations, who are uniting to march in Los Angeles to save the Affordable Care Act. There'll be thousands of people in the streets. Many of our elected officials will be there as well. And we're putting together the first in a group of resistance activities to the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, because we believe, again, that healthcare is a right. And so thousands and thousands of people, patients, allies, labor unions, healthcare workers, elected officials, business leaders are going to be in the streets marching, demanding that Congress save the Affordable Care Act. So while Congress repeals and takes away people's health care, we're going to be marching on the streets of Los Angeles to demand that health care is a right.
And how many such? I mean, can you give us a sense of the kinds of showing that there has been around the country as well? I know that, of course, people confronted their, particularly Republican lawmakers, in town hall meetings around the country. But I understand there have also been a lot of street protests and organized actions like the one on March 23rd.
Yes, there have been protests growing across the country against the repeal of Obamacare. And, you know, I think the most vocal and those that got the most press coverage were obviously the town halls where they confronted people who actually were, whose lives were saved by the Affordable Care Act, were confronting elected officials and demanding that they vote against repeal. But I think we're just beginning to see the resistance around healthcare because many, many people, millions of people were helped by the Affordable Care Act. And those people are gonna start going out into the streets as those benefits start getting repealed piece by piece by the Republicans and Donald Trump.
Well, we'll see how it turns out. The Republicans can only afford to lose 21 members of their party in the House in order to stave off in order to keep the repeal going forward. No Democrats, as far as we know, are going to vote for the American Health Care Act. There are a number of Republicans that are not going to vote for it as well, but we'll see if that number goes beyond 21 or not. If it does, then the ACA repeal and replacement will fail. So, Jim, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck to you and your work.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate the conversation.
My guest is Jim Manja. He's the CEO of St. John's Well Child and Family Center, the largest provider of healthcare in South Los Angeles. And again, that event that he spoke about is happening on Thursday, March 23rd in downtown Los Angeles at 11 a.m. at the Edward R. Roybal Federal Building. We'll post details about that for our Southern California audience on our website, which is risingupwithsonali.com. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.